Revelations 13:18 says, "Wisdom is needed here. One who understands can calculate the number of the beast, for its number stands for a person. His number is 666. Last weekend, I focused on what I consider to be one of the most important parts of understanding the book of Revelation. It has to do with the work of God, or more explicitly, the wrath of God, and how he historically has brought it to fulfillment. You can catch that in part 3 of my podcasts on Revelation. This weekend, I want to focus on what I consider to be one of the other most important parts. It has to do with the dreaded number 666. There's an historical explanation, an hysterical explanation, and I do not mean funny, and a theological explanation. Let us start with the first. The historical explanation has been given as meaning Caesar Nero. In the Greek, if you assign a number to each letter such that A would be 1, B would be 2, etc., and take all of those numbers for Caesar Nero and add them up, you get 666. So Caesar Nero was seen as an embodiment of the beast in the time that the book of Revelation was written. This is a simple historical explanation. The hysterical explanation takes that number and tries to apply it to our modern day life. It has been done in a couple of ways. Some have tried to say this or that person's name adds up to, you guessed it, 666. The latest one I heard that was thought to be true was Henry Kissinger, back a few decades ago. Well, that did not seem to work out quite the way they thought. There are also hysterical people concerned about any kind of series of 3 sixes showing up in their lives. I've heard of some people who refuse to accept a credit card because it has 3 sixes in a row. Other similar kinds of hysteria have been part of certain sections of modern Christianity. I think this is actually superstition. Now, what about the theological description? This takes a little digging. Do you remember in the gospel, Peter asking Jesus how many times he must forgive his brother? 7 times? Jesus' response was not 7, but 70 times 7 times. Now, that's not 490. All of this is much more subtle. In fact, Peter may have thought he was being spiritually intellectual. You see, the number 7 is part of our spiritual heritage, but it goes all the way back to creation. God made the world in 6 days and rested on the 7th. God resting on the 7th day is a sign of the covenant bond that he has with humanity. We are the only creatures who can understand a Sabbath rest. So the 7th day is a mark of the covenant. So Peter was asking Jesus if he had to remain in a covenant with the brother who continues to violate the covenant. This is where Jesus' radical approach in his teaching comes out in a marvelous way. Jesus says, not 7, but 70 times 7. Peter was asking if he had to remain in a covenant relationship. Jesus says, no, you must perfect the relationship of covenant with your brother. So let's back up. The beasts of the world, the animals, were made in 6 days. They were not made to understand the 7th day. That belongs to us only. And this is where the number 6 comes into extreme focus. It is a failure to come up into the covenant bond with God. It is to live as an animal. Now, Jesus focused on 70 times 7 as a perfection of covenant, the theological message of the number 666 points to someone who is deliberately failing to come up to the covenant bond with God. Revelation says that there will be those who have the number stamped on their hands and their forehead. Here is another reference to the Gospels. Do you remember Jesus talking about the Pharisees who widened their phylacteries and were fond of wearing huge tassels? What is a phylactery? It is a small box that an Orthodox Jew would tie around his wrist or his forehead, and in it would be parts of Scripture. There's a line in Deuteronomy that says, "Bind them on your arm as a sign, let them be as a pendant on your forehead." So an Orthodox Jew would do exactly that by tying a phylactery to their body. Those who do evil, those who practice or study evil, are marked with the number 666. This indicates, as a counterpoint to Jesus 7 times 70, that those who are pursuing evil are failing to come into a covenant relationship with God, which would lead them to acts of love. This, I believe, is the theological message of the number 666. It is not something we need to be afraid of, because something is going to show up with that particular number and be a ruin to society because of the number. No, it is an indication that there are people who will be studying how to do evil. Does this sound familiar in our own day? People are trying to get over on their taxes. People are pursuing all kinds of immoral actions, including abortion, other sexual perversions. These are the people who are marking themselves with the mark of the beast right now. These are the people who are pursuing evil, darkness, death, the devil himself. We see in our reading from Revelation today the coming of a new heaven and a new earth. These last couple of chapters are a conclusion to all of the junk, all of the warfare that is going on in heaven and on earth. In the chapters between chapter 12 and chapter 21, there are descriptions of beasts and war, death and destruction, and victory. The victory belongs to our God. I think this is the reason why the church has bypassed all of this for our Sunday readings in the book of Revelation. It is not that it is unimportant to look at the warfare that goes on in the heavenly realms. This warfare has an impact on our lives because the devil wants to destroy us, period. John's visions show us these kinds of battles that take place outside our known realm. Yet we have seen part of it in the form of wars throughout the history of humanity. We cannot seem to escape them. There's always someone who believes that a war is correct. There are people who do not think in terms that we could call moral and rational. I believe in many, if not all, of those cases, there is a demonic drive behind them. I believe this is true in the war that Russia is fighting right now. I believe this is true in the war on the unborn. I believe this is true in the way the Catholic Church is being attacked on so many fronts. There are attempts to destroy the people of God. And if you read through the entire book of Revelation, you begin to understand that things are not going to get easier as the final time approaches and as God makes ready to create this new heaven and new earth. We know and trust that we are on the winning side with Jesus. We trust that we will sing the songs of praise that are written throughout the book of Revelation. Some of the songs are limited to certain sections of the saints, but it will be our great joy to hear those songs, and we will have our own songs of praise. We need not worry about the status of our souls if we but choose to sing the songs of the Lamb with faith, hope and love, especially love, as we remain in a covenant of love with one another, as Peter and Jesus described for us, and as we remain in a covenant with Almighty God. Jesus said he is making all things new. The newness that he is going to create will not include death, destruction, tears, or sadness. Might we face those four things? It is certain that some of these will be part of our lives now. But the final truth is, Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and if we are faithful, we will reign with him forever. Lord, there are some in Christianity who are afraid of the messages of the book of Revelation because it sounds so mysterious. Help us to understand that you have invited us to the victory feast, the wedding feast of the Lamb. You are trustworthy to complete all your promises, and you will bring us to the rewards of heaven. Give us the courage in these trying times to stand with you, regardless of what the world tries to do or say against you and your church. Give us the courage to be faithful to you, who are the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.